Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
But I'm glad to be with you guys this morning. I'm glad to be able to be here. Before we really dive into the message, I just want to let you guys know that me and my wife love being here in Wyoming, and we actually love being here at this church. We really do. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Yes. Yeah. That hand clap's for you guys, not for me. So because you guys have been always just so welcoming, so amazing, the gifts and talents that you guys have, that you guys use for the Lord in so many different areas, whether from worship, from prime timers, to the class on Sunday mornings here, from showing up to the Bible study and sharing that and commenting on that and everything that's done and everything that's happened and the legacy that you guys have. And people like Barbara Walters here, who's been here for so long. She's been here for four generations of different pastors. I mean, that's amazing to me. That's amazing, just her dedication to the faith and all that she does. I love to see that because that's what transforms lives. The dedication there, that's what does it, because those are the kinds of people that helped me be where I'm at today. There was people at my home church when my dad went to prison, okay, when we didn't have the money for food, who would pay for our food, who would pay for our rent, people from the church, people I learned years about later who helped my mom and us kids through so many struggles and trials through different times, and it was because of their generosity, but it was continuing to see their faith later on down the line that they would have. One of them who ended up losing his wife and yet every day still coming to church with a smile on his face, still loving the Lord, still praying with people, never giving up on what the Lord still had for him, even though he was now maybe alone all the time at home. And it was that kind of dedication that continues to push me forward, because I know if they can do it, then I can do it. So for those of you who maybe are in a tough place, but you've been in the faith for a long time, I want to encourage you this morning to just continue in your faith. And I know with everything in the last few months, everything's been kind of crazy. Everything's been kind of chaotic. A lot of things have changed. A lot of new things have happened. And that's why I titled this message this morning called I Believe. Okay, it's not about what I specifically believe. It's not like, you know, we're going to go in depth of, you know, different things that are weirdly or anything like that. Nothing like that. This is the things that God has given me through Master's Commission, where I went to college at, and the different things and how he's brought me through things and the things that I've stood on and the things that I believe every Christian should stand on and the processes that he takes us through this morning. Now, I know I'm only 29 years old, and I'm sure some of you can either be my parents or my grandparents, and maybe some of you have met my grandpa. Who knows, okay? Trust me. He's up there, okay? And he's been everywhere, okay? He loves to fly. He's been all over the United States. He's built bridges. He's helped build the foundation of a nuclear plant. He helped build the Sears Tower. He was a welder. I remember being a kid when he was helping work on it and renovate it and different things that they were doing. That's my grandpa, so he's a little crazy, I'll tell you that. But I believe the Lord wants to speak this morning, and I think that's evident of what happened in worship today. And what happened is that the Lord wants to speak to his church. He wants to speak to you as an individual, as a parent, as a grandparent. He wants to speak this morning. In fact, I believe he wants to speak to us every single day of our lives. Now, some of you may say, what about those dry seasons where I don't really hear the Lord? And that may happen, but with that, I want to say what the Lord says does not return to him void. So if you read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 12, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and their unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Now, wouldn't that be great to see, right? Just the mountains just burst into song. The trees just start clapping. Wouldn't that be just amazing to be able to hear that? That would be pretty cool. But my point, which is verse 11, okay, and it says, so my word, what goes out from my mouth, will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. If God has already spoken into your life, if he has already said something, if he has already asked you to do something, and you're wondering maybe why you're in a dry season, maybe why you feel stuck, maybe why you're not moving forward, because that word that which he has already given you is not done yet. It is still fulfilling its purpose. It's not done yet. There's not a new word because you're still in another area. You're still in that same spot that still needs to be fulfilled because it's not going to return to him empty. It must accomplish what it has sent out to do. And maybe you don't fully know what that purpose is. But maybe you just need to go back and remember what that was. Or maybe you constantly hear the Lord saying the same thing over and over and over again, and you're wondering why. Because that's what he has for you. That's what it is. Even if you may want something different, what he already has for you, trust me, is a whole lot greater than probably what you want. Whatever God has spoken to you by the Holy Spirit is what is for you, and it's not against you. It is fully for you. That's not even my first point this morning. Can we pray this morning? Let's just pray. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. God, we ask that you speak to us, your church. We ask that you move in our lives and that you help us believe fully in you and in your word that you have given us. Help us have open hearts and minds and ears this morning to what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love prayer. I love prayer. Prayer is a powerful thing. And if you don't have enough time for prayer, carve out time for prayer. Okay, if I can carve out time to go to work out in the morning at 5:30, okay, you can find some more time for prayer. Okay, I promise you that. For those of you who are following along, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, there's some key things here that Paul's telling us this morning. Three key things that I really see, and it's thinking, speaking, and doing. These are the three processes that we go through in order to be able to get somewhere. You start thinking about something, and then you start speaking about something, and then you start doing that something, whatever that may be in life. Whatever we think about determines what's going to happen in our lives. Where we're at in our thinking is what is there. My point one this morning, for those of you who are taking notes, is don't get comfortable thinking about the wrong thing. When we get comfortable in thinking about the wrong thing, then that becomes our comfort level. Whether you despise it, whether you like it or not, whatever it may be, whether it be in lack or whether it be in procrastination, you can't get out of it until you change your thinking about that incorrect thing. Let's take New Year's resolutions, for example. They're a great thing for some people. For other people, they don't always work out. Didn't work out for me for several years. Say I'm going to go to the gym, but I skipped the thinking part and I went straight to speaking and doing within a matter of a couple weeks. And that's what most people do. So we go to the gym, we're there for hopefully maybe 30 days, maybe a little bit longer, maybe 3 months, and then they're no longer there. Yeah, talk to anybody who's been in a gym for a long time. Oh yeah, January, you know, first few months, yeah, it's always pretty hectic, and then it dwindles back down. There's more room in the gym. That's every gym. That's the why. Planet Fitness, whatever gym it is. Now, the thing that happens with us when we're doing all of these things, though, is that we didn't change our thinking about having to get up early in the morning. We didn't change our thinking about how we thought about food. We didn't change our thinking about the other activities that we have that might get in the way. We didn't change those things. We didn't think about those things. So now all of those things are still in the way, and eventually they overcome because that's what you're comfortable in. When you're comfortable always just drinking pop, then that's what's going to happen. I had a friend in high school. He decided that he wanted to become a Marine, and I was like, he's pretty tall. He seemed kind of fit. I was like, oh, okay, maybe. I don't know if he's going to make it. I wrestled. He didn't do sports or anything like that, and he ended up becoming a Marine. He's a Marine to this day. But the weird thing is that he couldn't remember the last time he drank water. We were outside. This is Michigan. It's 85, 90 degrees out. Okay, we're playing football. Okay, it's humid out in Michigan where I'm from. Okay, it's humid. My shirt was gray. It was a light gray. It was then a dark gray by the end of about 2.5 hours, 3 hours playing football. Okay, with my friends. Him, he only had one little drop of sweat coming down his forehead on his side. One. Because in the last 3 years, he had never drank any water other than what was being consumed in pop. I'm like, dude, you're not going to make it as a Marine. You can't. That's insane. He ate way too much junk food. Somehow he was still fit. I didn't understand it. Trust me, I didn't. But he had to change the way he thought. He had to change his habits in order to be able to become a Marine. Finally, by the time of his senior year, he could finally run the 3 mile within about 20 minutes. That's pretty good for someone who didn't do any kind of sports. That's all he did. He just started running on his own. He started changing habits. He finally started drinking water, and he started sweating about as much as I did. I thought maybe one day he was just going to fall over and die because his body just didn't know how to sweat because he just didn't have the water within his system. When we don't have Christ in our system because we're always thinking about other things, how is Christ going to come out? Christ can't come out unless he's in. Christ says he's the branch and we are the vine. We are an extension of him, but if we're not getting anything from him, if we're not getting our nourishment from him for our spirit, for what we do every single day, then how can we get there? When was the last time you sat down and you were like, I'm just going to think about what's praiseworthy today. I'm going to think about what's excellent today. When was the last time you just decided to just sit there and think? Now, maybe for some of you guys who are older, maybe that's something that you guys do. I don't know. My grandpa likes to nap in his chair, so he takes power naps, but it's what he does. Trust me, he can be ready to go in 10 minutes. He can be like, oh, I'm so tired, like not be able to do anything in like 10 minutes. He's like up, and I'm like, dude, you can't do that. Like, that's crazy. But if we don't think about what's good in life, how is good going to come out? If we're always watching, if we're always looking, so this world is very distracting right now, okay? We have our cell phones. We always have Facebook. We'll always have YouTube at our hand. I've got it ready right now. I can be on within 5 seconds. When was the last time you got in your car and you had to drive probably for at least an hour or more and you didn't have music on? How many of you could say that you could go on a ride and not listen to music? Quite a few of you. Okay, very nice, very nice. But people like from my generation, that's a little bit more difficult. There are people out there who would go crazy. They would start hearing how their car sounds, and they'd be like, oh my gosh, this thing really is that bad. The dealership wasn't lying to me, nor was my friend. If we would just take a moment and just listen, we would hear God. If we would just choose to think about more of his word and meditate on his word, how much more our lives would change in a drastic way, in a great and fantastic way, because that's what happens if we choose to change our thinking. We can choose to change our thinking in the most simplest of ways, to better our lives physically. I go to the gym now with Pastor Daniel. There's a reason why I go with him, because he has the motivation that I don't quite have yet. I started changing my thinking about food. I started changing my thinking about some of those things. But it's a process. You have to get there. It starts with thinking, speaking, and then doing. You can't jump from thinking automatically to doing. It doesn't work like that. There are processes that need to happen in our lives. And sometimes we think just because, you know, we can go to McDonald's and we can get things so fast that we can just go ahead and skip from one place to the next and we're going to be there. Can the Lord do that? Yes, he can. But most of the time, I'm just going to be honest, he doesn't do that. I have an uncle. He's my great uncle. He owns his own business. And when he first got saved, he still had a lot of anger issues. Not everything came out right away. And he told me the story one time. He was driving on his motorcycle. He was going down the road, not very fast. He was probably going about 25, 30 down like a dirt road. And as he's driving down the road to his right, he sees this guy with a gun pointing at a woman. And this is what my great uncle does because he's crazy. and he has a lot of anger issues, and his anger welled up with inside him so fast. This is right after he got saved. He jumped off of his motorcycle while it was still going. He didn't stop. He just let it go, jumped off, rolled in the grass, ran at the guy and tackled him and took the gun away from him. He's pretty crazy, okay? This is my family, all right? I'm letting you into my family a little bit. He realized later on, about a year later, that that was not a good decision. That in two different areas, he could have easily gotten hurt or died. By just jumping off a motorcycle like that is not a smart idea. Luckily, he was still young at the time. But he wasn't thinking about other people also that he loves. And that's what he told me. Because if that guy would have actually reacted, if he actually had some sort of knowledge, probably, I guess, with a gun or something, of knowing what he was doing, it was probably his first time, probably would have shot him. And he wouldn't have stood a chance. He had a realization. He had a moment later on down his life that, oh my gosh, I have something to work on. I am not perfect. There are certain things that need to change in my life. And sometimes that happens. We need to start thinking about the better things in life and stop thinking about our doubts, about our failures, about our weaknesses, and all the things that we have. Are they there? Yes, they are. But when you're always focused on them, then that's what's always going to be brightest every single day in your life. Proverbs 26:11 says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats their folly." Now, it's not a pleasant view, okay? I've had dogs. I'm sure most of you guys have seen it. Most of you guys have probably seen animals where they throw up and then they go back and they eat it. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Okay, what's going on in that brain of yours? Please tell me. But the same thing happens with us. Insanity is described as doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You guys know it. But yet we all do it. We all say, well, I'll stop procrastinating tomorrow. You're still procrastinating because you're waiting until tomorrow. If we want to get out of our old way of thinking, we need to think about things that are praiseworthy. And some of those things are right there in the Bible. Their prayer, their worship. There's a reason why I tell this to my youth kids all the time. We talk about it. We talk about music, what you listen to. Now, I'm not going to harp on anyone if you choose to listen to things that aren't always Christian. That's fine. You want to do that? That's okay. I choose not to. Unless I'm somewhere where they're playing it, unless I'm around it. I don't physically choose to listen to it unless I have to. For a specific reason or for a specific purpose, I always listen to something Christian because of what's coming into me, because of what I'm listening to, eventually is going to come out of me. And I see it all the time. And I made a decision when I was very young that I was never going to listen to anything other than Christian music. And I made that choice myself. That is my personal choice. I'm not saying that you guys have to follow it. But I noticed that my days are so much better when I didn't have to work at American Eagle listening to some weird song talking about throwing pies and getting a pie for a dime and all these other weird different things and cussing, you know, every other chorus. So I realized my life was so much better, and I'd have to go home and go ahead and listen to some praise and worship music because I was tired of that song being stuck in my head because I played it on repeat for five times. It was crazy. So I made a change in my life that would do that. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14 says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We need to think like Paul here. We can't become complacent with where we're at in life. That's why I said what I said earlier this morning, talking about those who have stuck with the faith. You've continued to press forward. You've continued to press on. And those are our examples that we have for those of you who are younger in the room. If they can do it, then we can do it. They've gone through hard times just like we have. And this leads me to my next point. Point number two is one realization or one idea can change your whole life. One realization, one moment can transform who you are, can transform your life. That's all it takes, is one thing to be able to continually move you forward. I have facts that sometimes people know the facts, but yet they don't. Young kids, they go into high school and all these different things, and they have sex education. They have a health class that they're supposed to go to, and they learn about STDs, drugs and alcohol and all these other things. But what happens? A good portion of them still do those things. They don't realize that it's affecting them. They don't believe. They have the facts. They know them. They're right there. They're everywhere. They're on their internet. They can see them. People talk about them all the time to them. But what happens? they get alcohol poisoning. I remember going over to a friend's house when I was in high school, when I was a junior. Went over to his house one summer. There's an ambulance across the road. What's going on? Oh, that's just a friend. She had alcohol poisoning. She drank too much. She was 15. They know the facts. They know that they can get pregnant if they have sex. Most of them know that. What happens? What, by my junior year, there's three girls pregnant, no longer allowed to come to school, not physically able to come to school anymore. They have the facts. They know them. But for some reason, they don't believe that it applies to them anymore. They don't believe that it can happen to them. Why? Because they're seeing it. They're seeing it at home. I'm not saying that that's you guys, okay? But they're seeing it at home. I didn't believe that those things would affect me when it came to alcohol. So when I started drinking when I was 14, because my stepdad drank, my mom drank, they smoked. It didn't matter, right? It's not really affecting them. They've got pretty good health. So I don't see what the big fuss is about. That's what it is they're seeing the world and everything else that they're doing, and they're saying it doesn't really affect. Nah, those facts aren't quite true. That's what they're believing. That's what they're thinking. That's what's going on. And it's not till they've had a full realization moment where they're now in the hospital from alcohol poisoning, and they're like, oh, snap, that happened to me. But we can have a realization moment before that. Any one of us can. We can have a realization moment that can transform our lives, whether it be from Christ or whether it be just in being a better person in life. I had a realization moment when I was in high school. I was a sophomore, and I had a realization in my math class and geometry class. Now, before I tell you about that realization moment, so before I was saved, from when I was in first grade to seventh grade, I struggled with English and with math. I was in special education classes for all of those grades. From first to seventh grade, I was in those classes. I would have to leave my class during English time and go to another class because they said that I was not at the standard of where everyone else was. I was below that, and so I had to have help. I had to have extra help, and there would be other kids. We'd all walk out at the same time and go to that class and then come back to the other class. Kind of felt ashamed a little. You know, because you're always the one who always had to leave. You couldn't be doing what everyone else was doing. And I had to work to be able to get out of that. And then when I got into high school, I finally wasn't in those classes anymore. I had to work really hard. And I got saved when I was a freshman. And I remember sitting in one of my economics class, and I was just struggling. I was like, dude, I don't like economics. This is crazy. And after I got saved, everything changed. It seemed like all of a sudden I became smarter. But that's not really what happened. What happened is that a lot of my anger, all the chaos, all the things that were inside my head that I couldn't figure out were now gone. It used to take me an hour to be able to fall asleep at night. It didn't matter how tired I was because my brain would just constantly go. It took an hour for my brain to shut off as a middle schooler, as a high schooler. But after I got saved, it didn't take that anymore because things were finally clearing up. Things were finally happening. So classes got better, still struggled at math. So it's my sophomore year and I'm sitting in geometry class and I'm kind of goofing off. The teacher tells us to stop. It's like, okay, fine. And in that moment, something happened. And I can't exactly say what happened. I had a realization moment, and I told myself, Zach, I told this to myself in my head, Zach, if you continue to procrastinate and to not be organized and continue to complain about this, you're never going to succeed as an adult. You have 2 years left after this, and you're supposed to be on your own, and you won't make it. I had a realization moment that I was going to fail in life because I was that kind of kid who I had a clean pile and I had a dirty pile in my room. That's who I was, a clean pile and a dirty pile. Okay, and they were right next to each other. Sometimes they got mixed up. It just happened. My mom stopped yelling at me to clean my room because it wasn't going to happen. I couldn't remember the last time I changed my sheets. I didn't even know I had an extra pair of sheets, okay, if that tells you anything. Okay, some of you moms are cringing right now. I know. But that's the kind of person I was. And my mom fighting with three other kids, you know, different ages, you know, it was a struggle. There was, you know, you had to pick your battles at the time. But I had a realization moment that if I don't get my life right, I'm gonna mess this up. I don't want to live with my mom till I'm 28. I don't want to be one of those people. There were already memes about those people, okay? They just weren't called memes yet. They were out there. They were already in movies, okay, talking about them. I watched them. And I decided from that point on that I was going to be organized, that if I would stop complaining about these things, that I could do it. Now, I still don't really like being organized. I can do it, but it's just like, right? I'm not going to go crazy. We're not color coding things, okay? It's a little too much, okay? I've decided that's just a little too much. But from that point on, I didn't have homework for the rest of the year. All of my teachers gave us time in class to get all of our homework done. I had one time 3 days of my math homework done in geometry class that I had literally nothing to do while he talked for 3 days because he gave us our homework in advance and I got it all done in 1 day. I became that kid, okay, in class who the teachers really liked because my stuff was already turned in days ahead of time if it could be. I didn't have to study for exams because I was the kid who did his homework and I did it all by myself and figured it all out and I could read the book and understand it, that I never had to study for exams. I never studied. I'd walk into the classroom, I'd flip through the book real quick, take a couple minutes, take the test, get an A or a B. I had A's and B's the rest of the year, the rest of my high school year, all the way up through I was a senior. I'm able to be who I am today. I'm able to have a family and be where I'm at in this life because I had that realization moment that changed me forever and allows me to be the best that I can be. That's the kind of moment that sometimes we need to have, whether it be to be more Christ-like, or whether to just be able to continue to do what God has called us to do. Sometimes those changes need to happen. Now, it's not like it happened overnight, okay, right? I had to eventually clean my room. I had to talk about cleaning my room. And eventually, I had to clean my room, okay? And eventually, I had to learn how to fold clothes, right, and hang clothes up and decide what I liked and all these different things that had to happen. There was still a process, but I had the moment that changed my thinking that allowed me to become so much more. Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 18 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the skies. You hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me." Now, right in the middle there, okay, the Greek word used for grumbling is also the same word used for complaining and murmuring. When we're comfortable, always complaining, always murmuring, always grumbling about the same thing that we always have to do, you're always going to be in that same spot. It's never going to change. If you're always grumbling about where you're at in life, you can never get past it until you start thinking differently about it. And so until you truly believe that you can do something about it. Until you believe that Christ can really change that thing that's in you. I had a friend growing up. He was also a youth kid. He's a few years younger than I am, who I helped mentor for a while. And this is something he had a hard time getting through his head. He really liked to joke around, okay? But sometimes it would go a little too far, okay? He used to like to make fun of my hairline, okay? And now I make fun of it myself, so you guys can't, okay? I know it's there, okay? It's happening. I don't despise it. I stop grumbling about it, and I just accept it, okay? I can't change it. But he would do those things to just about everybody. And he was always like this. And he never realized why people really didn't like him. It's because you take it too far, dude. And he would never hear me out. He would never listen. Never listen. And this is the thing that needed to change in his life. And we've even told him, me and another pastor had even told him, look, if you don't get this right, you're never going to make it in ministry. He wanted to be in ministry. You can't be in ministry and be like that. You need to be loving and kind. He's like, I can. I was a supervisor at a store. Yeah, okay. It was Culver's, okay? It's a fast food place, right? It's like, no, that's different. You deal with one person, they're mean to you. You say, yeah, cool, thanks. But when you have to see them week after week, that's not the same. There was something in his life that needed to change, and he had the facts, and people would point it out. And it wasn't until one time, after finally him losing a job in ministry and all these tough things that kept happening, that he finally one day texted me, and he apologized. He's like, I've been doing a lot of reflecting and prayer, and I realized I was wrong. And you were right. I'm sorry. Sometimes that's all it takes. I was never mad at him. I was never mean to him. Every now and then I joke a little bit back. Okay. But he finally had a realization moment in his life that changed him, that helped transform him. And he's a better person today because of it. Someone else who had a realization moment is Isaiah. And Isaiah is a great character in the Bible. I love what happens here in chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were the seraphim. each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. They were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal on his hand, which he had taken tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the prophet Isaiah, who was already a prophet. He was already speaking the word of the Lord before this, and yet he has this vision. This is some amazing vision, okay? I'm just going to be honest. There's a lot here that you can explain, that you can go on to, that talks about how the Lord is the King of Kings because His train fills the temple. Those of you who don't know, long ago, what kings would do is that they would take someone else's train, okay, the kind of like a cape. They would take it and they would sew it onto there, showing that they have taken this many kings. His filled the temple. And in this moment, Isaiah has a realization moment. He's like, "Oh my gosh, I realize I'm unclean. My lips are unclean. I have guilt because I am not perfect. I am not better than the Israelites that I've been prophesying against. I am no better than them." He had this moment where everything changed. And the seraphim comes and touches those lips with his coal. And he says, "Your guilt is gone. Your sin is atoned for." Now, I didn't get saved in a church service or at my youth group, because the only thing that was generally preached was just, you know, being good, make good choices, don't do drugs and all these things. So, well, there was the word was there, but the gospel wasn't there. I didn't know fully yet what Jesus had done for me. I couldn't have that realization moment until I went to a youth retreat and until they finally explained deep in depth of what Christ had done, how He had sacrificed Himself, someone who was blameless, someone who had never sinned, gone through the same life, someone who was a God who came down as a man and chose to die on the cross for me, and not yet died, but rose again. Because He is the only one that can do that. Because I realized that even if I tried to pay for my sins with my own life, well, that penalty is still death. That doesn't get me higher, because there's a consequence for those sins. And it only goes down. It doesn't go up when you pay for it. There's no alternative. I had that realization moment that changed my life of what Christ did for me. And sometimes we have to remember to go back to what Christ has done for us. The cross is simple. And it's right there for all of us to have. Whatever guilt, whatever you're stuck in, whatever you've been complaining about can be taken away. It can be gone. Sometimes it requires a process, sometimes it doesn't. I used to cuss a lot as a kid. After I got saved, I didn't cuss anymore. It was gone like that. It happened that fast. There are things that God can take and do in your life that can completely transform wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, however you think. Can change that to put you in a place where you can be doers of the word, where you can become that prayer warrior that you've always wanted to be, where you can become that leader that you've always wanted to be within the church, but you don't know how to get there. That's where it starts. The realization that Christ died for your sins and loves you to the ends of the earth can change your life forever. But you have to have that realization moment. The people of Casper have to have that realization moment, and they can't have that realization moment unless we preach it to them. We can always talk about doing the good things, about not doing drugs and being a better person and making all these different choices, but if they never hear the good news of Jesus Christ and what He did, then the city can never be changed, because that is the foundation that we stand on. That is our main belief, that Christ has taken our sins away and we can be renewed. It's never too late to let Christ change your life. It's never too late for Him. No matter where you're at, it's never too late to let Him change you. God wants to work in our life today and forevermore. Let's not let another moment go by where we don't let Christ change us to be more like him every day. This is my last verse. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11 says, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no other name under earth or under heaven by which we must be saved. There is only one name, and that is Jesus Christ. He's our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our King. He is everything." And when I realized that, when I came to Christ, I chose to give everything. Something I learned when I was in Master's Commission, just like a hands-on Bible college where we did ministry all the time. Something that the Lord told me, and I said, "Lord, I feel like you're pushing me so fast. Why am I such already a high leader just after my first year being here? Why are you having me do all these things? What's going on?" And he said, "It's because you're willing. If you would just be willing to listen, if you'd just be willing to let the Lord change you, if you would just be willing, if we would just be willing, the things that Christ could do through us today, tomorrow, for our family, he can do it. I'm here today because that day when I was a sophomore, I realized just to stop grumbling, stop complaining. Didn't even know it was in the Word until later on in my life. That the less I complain about and the more willing I am to Christ, the more he's going to put in my hands. The more he's going to have me do. And the more grateful I am for what he's done for me. The more I've realized that the creator of the ends of the earth loves me unconditionally. That he's willing to do so much more for me. For you. That he's willing to do those things. That he's willing to help me take care of my family. If I serve him with all of that I have, if I serve him with my heart, he's going to watch over my kids. Because I also came to a realization that I can't always protect my kids. And that can be a scary thought. But I don't let that thought rule me. It might try and come up every now and then, but I remember who my God is. Because my God is big, and he's powerful. And he holds us in his hands. Can you guys stand with me this morning? Can we stand? Whether you feel that you're in a dry place or stuck or abandoned or that you don't know God at all, I just want you to pray with me this morning. Let's pray. Let's ask God to come in and speak this morning because he can give you that realization moment. Lord, I pray for every single person in here, Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, that you would strengthen them, that you would lead them, that you would guide them. Lord, that you would give them a realization moment in their life that will transform them in the way that you want them to be transformed. Lord, our hearts and our eyes and our ears are open to you right now to what you have for us. Lord, we ask that you speak right now. Speak, Jesus. Speak. Please speak. Now, if you don't know Jesus and you wanna give your life to the Lord this morning, I want to give you that opportunity, and I'd like to pray with you this morning. If you want to know Jesus Christ, would you just raise your hand? Just go ahead and lift your hand up. No one looking around the room. The Lord can change us forever. He can keep us in his righteous right hand. It's not too short. His arm is not too short to reach you this morning. Lord, bless every single person here. I pray abundance of a blessing right now. God, that you would change us, that you would just speak this morning. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Whatever's on your mind, whatever's going on, go ahead and just put that to the side and let the Lord fill you this morning. Let him fill you this morning. Jesus, fill us this morning. Fill us in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.